So you guys remember throughout this book, we have been anticipating the coming of Jesus to the earth. We have been anticipating him starting his ministry. And up to this point, it's been a historical account of Jesus' birth, the prophecy about his birth, and the things that his parents did on his behalf, and how Jesus was fulfilling God's promise starting from the day he was prophesied to be born, right? And then we are in this fourth chapter, and Manny took over the pulpit last week to teach us what it means to be filled by the Spirit, verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, and what it means to be led by the Spirit. And I want us to continue on from that. Keeping that in mind, I want us to talk about what happens in the next chapter of Jesus' life. Jesus' ministry is officially started. But before he does his public ministry, before he is out there helping people or teaching people or doing miracles or giving signs to people, and before he's about to go accomplish the work that he has to do on the cross, Jesus is filled by the Spirit and led by the Spirit to a test. Last week, Manny was emphasizing this part. He wasn't filled by the Spirit to be excited emotionally. That might be the modern interpretation of what it is to be filled by the Spirit. He wasn't filled by the Spirit to have special knowledge about the universe or privileges to sin. He wasn't filled by the Spirit for that purpose. In fact, he was led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit to fast, not to eat food. Right? Simply put, he was led by the Spirit outside of civilized society, outside of the comforts of the city life, to the wilderness. And the Gospels communicate to us, when you read all four, that he was with the wild animals in the wilderness. Very interesting. So, like, we kind of see this idea that when the Spirit of God fills us, we don't just sit, we go, we do stuff. When the Spirit of God leads us, you can't just be living like the way you used to live or living like the rest of the world and assume or think that the Spirit of God is leading you, right? If the Spirit of God is leading you, you're walking, you're acting, you're living in such a way that you are doing the will of God. Contrary to, let's say, you want to eat food, right? Instead of fasting. Isn't that better? You might not even want to skip a meal. You may not be able to go like a couple of hours without food, maybe. Or let's say 4 hours without food. We're talking about for 40 days, Jesus does not eat anything. Isn't that interesting? Does that even make sense to you where you're sitting right now? Does it have a meaning where you're sitting? Assess your own life. Think of the things that you value and love and like you would be excited to do. Does it matter? Does fasting matter to you? Does it matter that you do God's will? Does it really matter? Like, after all, we're all Christians, right? Like, at the end of our lives, everybody is going to what? Heaven, right? After all, God is a forgiving God, right? Does it really matter to be led by the Spirit, to be filled by the Spirit? Please don't. Is everyone with me right now? Are you guys in church? Are you zoned out? Are you happy about your life? I want to tell you, your life is not good enough. My life is not good enough. Are you desperate, people? Jesus needed to be led by the Spirit to fasting, to the wilderness. And he was perfect. Does it matter? Does it matter that the Spirit of God leads you to do the things God wants you to do with your life instead of, I don't know, vegging out in front of a screen? Instead of sleeping during a sermon? I speak this way not because I got anything against anyone in this room, because I'm scared for each and every soul that is in front of me every day. As much as I'm scared for my own soul. This is what the Spirit of God does. If you're filled by the Spirit, He's not trying to tell you you're doing great. The only reason you are great in your life, you're doing good in your life, is because you are in union with Christ. That's what makes your life amazing, safe, good. But that doesn't mean you can live however you want. But anyways, this is what the filling of the Spirit looks like in Jesus' life. So full of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why? Why was he led into the wilderness? Why in Jesus' story is he led to somewhere where there is no human being, there's just wild animals, it's the wilderness? Why would he do that? Like, why would you guys, why? Really ask yourselves, from the life that you live, why would you go somewhere where there is no TV, there is no technology to just spend time to fast and pray before God? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? What's the purpose? Well, because God's redemptive plan, God's plan for those who are His children, is only visible to God in a lot of ways. It's big, it's lifelong. The entire span of history is God's redemptive plan. God is managing billions of people right now at the same time. God has managed multiple generations. God has plans for eternal life. You wouldn't know why, but God knows why. In Jesus' life, Jesus was doing the same thing Israel did. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. That's one example he's doing. Israel was the son of God. And this is what Paul says their life was like in the wilderness for 40 years. He says, now these things took place, this is 1 Corinthians 10, as example for us, he says, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolatrous as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Does that sound like something contemporary? We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did. 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Can you guys leave, please? Both of you. So that is exactly what the wilderness was like. You guys, you see me, right? Please leave. Thank you. Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, and their life was filled with sexual immorality. Their life was filled with desiring stuff, food, possessions. Their life was filled with grumbling against God. Their life was filled with taking God for granted, even though God was literally with them in fire and in cloud. They could literally visibly see God in the form of fire, in the form of cloud, but they were just as worldly as the rest of the nations. That's Israel in 40 years. That's whom Jesus is representing. And then Jesus is representing or is contrasting against Adam and Eve, who were tempted in paradise. This is what the serpent did to them. Perfect, blameless, holy. They didn't even know what sin was, to be honest. But the serpent said to the woman, think of this, this is a privileged place. They're not missing anything. They don't have to grow any vegetables to eat food. They don't have to do any work in order to feed themselves. And they didn't have any enmity with any of the animals that were created. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die if you eat the fruit that God said. No, right? For God knows that when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So the serpent offers them a temptation of, you don't have to be creatures. You can be gods, which is a lie. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Both groups, Israel, Adam and Eve, tempted, tested, both fall drastically. For Adam and Eve, it's insane that they fell for this. They live in a perfect world. First of all, God is fellowshipping with them constantly, and they only had one instruction to live by. Eat anything you want, except from one tree. So when Jesus is sent to the wilderness, what does it mean? When I'm talking to you here with words that you don't understand yet, what does it mean in your life? Does it mean I like speaking old words and trying to sound good for myself? Do you think I'm excited about being up here and talking? If I was excited about being like the person who talks, I would be on YouTube. I would be somewhere where I could make money out of it. I would be a speaker somewhere. Honestly, I don't care about that. I'm speaking to you these words that are ancient, that are beyond trivial conversations in any generation. It's not just our generation that doesn't know these words, doesn't know what righteousness looks like. It's every generation, because these are the words of the living God. These are the words that give life. These are the words that restore. These are the words that communicate to us the truth of God himself. So there is always a temptation that happens when you're separated all by yourself, when God is leading you. God wants to test his children. God wants to see if you have faith. God wants to make you strong so that the next temptation you face is not going to take you out. God wants to preserve your soul. Right now you might be good in your own eyes, but one day, there might be something that happens that completely, completely destroys your faith. Just like Judas, one day, like a snap, he was gone. And the devil was trying to do the same thing to Peter. The devil asked to sift you, Jesus says, but I prayed for you. So your faith is not going to fail, he says to him. The temptation that the devil brings into our lives is trying to destroy our faith. And if we're the kinds of people who like have a diamond in their hands and they're careless about it, they're not even taking care of it, obviously, in this broken world, you will lose it, if not lose your life for it. So this is what Jesus is going through. He's representing us. He's representing what the Son of God should be like. Israel was called the Son of God. Adam was called the Son of God in the previous chapter when we went through the genealogy. It gets to Adam and says, Adam, the Son of God. He's representing both for us in this place. So God has something that He's doing in each and every one of our lives every day that aligns with His Word, that aligns with His eternal redemptive plan. You may not know it. Right now, it might just be sitting on a chair, listening to a sermon. Later on, it might just be fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. Later on, it might just be going to school and taking your classes and being a Christian student. Another time, it might be a Christian child who listens to their parents. Another time, it could be a Christian who takes the gospel to other people. But at the end of the day, God is doing an eternal work through your life. For what you do in this life, good or bad, you will give account. Everything that you do, that you think is done in secret, earlier we read it, everything is open before God. Even your heart's intention that you don't know about, God is going to show you how wicked it is, if it's wicked. Every good that you do, you thinking, nobody saw it, nobody thanked me for it, don't worry about it. God has seen it. It will have an eternal reward in heaven for the good that you do. If you gave a cup of water for someone who's thirsty, that will always be remembered and you will be rewarded for it, and with a reward that will never fade, that will never decrease. In fact, it will last forever. But you should know God is doing something great with our lives. And it's beyond us. That's why we need God's words, instruction to live the life that He has given us. Because we have no clue what God is doing. You have no clue what it means when you tell a white lie and how many people it affects. You have no clue what it means when you're kind to someone for 5 minutes and how much it affects their lives and the lives of the people that are connected to them. You have no clue, but God knows exactly what's happening. That's why every sin is infinite in a lot of ways. And every righteousness goes a long way. And the beauty is, by God's grace, good outweighs, overcomes, is stronger than evil. This should make us wake up in everyday life, both in comfort and in the difficulty of life, knowing that there will be temptation every day coming from the devil to us, we should be ready. If you think you're not being tempted, you're just living a humdrum life, you're just doing life, you're not. You're either using your phone too much or you're using properly. You're either rude or polite. You can't rest for 5 seconds without being tempted to do the wrong thing. You can't overcome any temptation without depending on God to empower you to say no to sin and to seek righteousness. And there is a book that is keeping tabs on every action, every thought, everything that you're doing in your life. Just like your phone keeps your screen time, just like your phone keeps your history, there is a book that's going to be opened before God that shows exactly what you did with your life. And it's not meant to scare you. It's meant to inform you. God is a holy God. And the gift that He has given us in His Son of grace is amazing. When He says, I will forgive you. When He says, I will give you the righteousness of my Son. When He says, I will lead you. I will empower you to do good. I will equip you to overcome every temptation. That's a big thing. That's a big deal. on the day that on the day of judgment where you see your life, you're not gonna see the white lie that you told that destroyed thousands of lives to come. You're gonna see the kindness, the goodness, the truth that you told by the power of God that healed so many lives, that rescued so many from death, that actually glorified God on this earth. You can't do it. I can't do it. Nobody can do it outside of the power of the Spirit of God by which Jesus is empowered in this place. Do you see it? I love you guys too much to let you live like everything is how the world says it is. It's not. It really isn't. It's horrible when you're rude once to somebody. If it's horrible when you think bad thoughts about someone, let alone vindictive, hateful, or whatever thoughts are in your heart. It's infinitely horrible when you actually act on them or speak them out loud. And none of us can stop ourselves from being like that. I'm not trying to tell you, I'm doing great, you guys should catch up. I'm trying to tell you, it's the Christian life is a fight of faith. It's constantly being humbled to know we are wretched, broken. But God is holy and good and forgiving. And He's able to empower us to live the way Christ lived. So the temptations of Jesus take Him up into a place where He's tempted like the way Adam and Eve were tempted, worse even, in the wilderness. He's tempted more than the way Israel is tempted. But in the true reality of who He is, the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus not only overcomes each temptation, He actually overcomes each temptation as you and I would, as a human being, just empowered by the Spirit of God. He doesn't cheat here. He doesn't use His divine power of knowledge and understanding. He uses Scripture. You know what it's like to be filled by the Spirit? You don't care whatever complicated thing they offer you that seems exciting right now. If it doesn't align with Scripture, if it contradicts with Scripture, you say no. You might have heard when people are filled by the Spirit, they do like huge miracles. They kind of heal people or do this or that. Great, that's awesome. The Spirit can do that like that. It's not you doing it. Very easy. The name of Jesus can raise the dead. That wouldn't be you. What the Spirit does in our personal lives, though, the most powerful thing the Spirit does is raises our sinful nature to be righteous. Raises our nature who takes for granted the Word of God to love the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, to treasure the Word of God, to listen to only the Word of God, especially in your generation, in our time that we are living in. Everybody is inputting their information, their ideology into our lives. You can't even, they even contradict with one another, let alone with the Bible. It's not even easy to understand who to listen to. You know who Christians listen to? The God of the universe. You know where they get their information? Not Google. Not a bunch of influencers. Not a bunch of books. Not a bunch of movies. Not a bunch of social media posts. No, primarily and only from the Bible. Whatever additional thing we get in our lives in terms of information, let it be about working out or driving a car, it doesn't matter. We check, does it align faithfully with the Bible? Does it contradict with the Bible? If it does, we reject it completely. If it doesn't, it's good. It's good to drive. It's good to have a career. It's good to work out. It's good to eat healthy. Right? It's good to go on a vacation. It's good. Because it doesn't contradict with the Bible. it's good to work hard. It's good to take time to relax. It's all good if it aligns with Scripture. So let me ask this question, because I don't feel like the idea of this, like this idea of temptation, is truly, truly communicated to us properly. We might have confusing ideas about temptation. What is a temptation? It is like challenging. It's a challenge or a suggestion or kind of questioning that the devil does to humanity. Every time there's a temptation, the source of that temptation or the tempter in that temptation is always the devil. And what he wants to do is accomplish his own desire, control us. Well, the Bible says he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's a good summary. That's what he wants. And he won't tell you, I'm trying to kill you. Just like someone who kidnaps people is like not going to tell them, by the way, I'm going to kidnap you, right? They're going to speak softly. They're going to be the most amazing people you heard until the moment you realize doom has happened. Right? The same way the devil is like that. That is a temptation. A temptation is going to come to you like, wait, you've been like really working hard all week long, studying, you know, this is finals week. You know, it's time to just like relax and do whatever you want. And then it will lead you to, you know what? What will make you happy is not doing the normal stuff like God allows you to do. Why don't you just like do this thing that everybody else is doing? It's not a big deal. God will forgive you in the end. That's temptation. It sounds so smooth. It sounds like this person cares about you. They want you to relax and they want you to not miss out. You know what I mean? Everybody else is doing it. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like, hey, here you go. If you do this, it's going to kill you, but it's going to be amazing. That's not even the way it's presented to you. This is the temptation that Israel faced. This is the temptation Adam and Eve faced. And they fell for the temptation. So, temptation is by definition based on a lie and always meant to contradict God's will, because God's will for his children is that they have eternal lives. God's will for his children is that they have holy lives, lives that align with his scripture. God's will for his children is that they may be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So, temptation is trying to take you away from that process to a place where you look nothing like Jesus, which would also mean you're already on the path to destruction. Jesus says, broad is the way and easy that leads to death. Narrow and hard is the way that leads to life. Many will walk through the broad way, Jesus says. Few will enter the narrow way. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, by the way, since you're Christians, you're in the narrow path. He says, strive to enter the narrow path. The Christian life, what we have to do to obey Christ, to live a faithful life, to be sanctified, to live a life that God conforms us to his Son, that leads and ends up in life in the end, is a life of striving. It's a life of struggle, like I said. It's a life of saying no to everything the world offers and seeking constantly living according to the righteousness God provides, the freedom, the rest that we read about earlier. You know what you're supposed to rest from? The works of the flesh. The sinful desire that the flesh has, that agrees with the devil's propositions. We don't get angry at people because we're being forced to be angry at people. We like getting back at people with anger when they do something to us. We like it. That's the old us, though. That's the beauty and that's the good news of the gospel. If you are a Christian, you're not this person who responds with anger. If you're a Christian, you're not defeated so that every time somebody does something to you, you got to go back and fight for it. Everybody that comes to you and just is aggressive towards you, you don't have to get physical with them. You're free. But you have to strive in it. You have to seek it. You have to battle for it. The devil is not going to sleep. Why would you? The one that is in you, God says, the word of God says, is greater than the one that is in the world. The Holy Spirit that lives in you, he doesn't fall for temptations. The Holy Spirit that would empower you, he doesn't have to contend with the devil. The devil is one of the angels that God created. He's nobody. Michael might contend with the devil, not God, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is mighty. The Holy Spirit is the one that gave shape to the entire planet in which we live. He's powerful. He's beyond any power. We have to strive, though. We have to be filled by the Spirit. We have to follow him when he leads us. We have to be empowered by him to overcome the devil. We have to be a people, when everything is going well, who go aside privately, spend time with the Lord before a time of temptation comes up. Before you face challenges that you cannot overcome. Before you remain idle and one day something serious happens. Before that time comes, God has given us the privilege to kneel before him in prayer. To sit down and really feed our souls with his word. To seek his face through fasting like Jesus was in this place. That is the gift God has given us. And that's exactly what we're doing at this very hour, by the way. When someone is preaching the gospel to you, when someone is communicating the word of God to you, what they're trying to do is like what we're all trying to do is in a corporate worship, sitting down to seek the face of the Lord so that he might teach us what to do. You know what God is teaching us today? He's teaching us there is such a thing as temptation, and we have a supernatural enemy we cannot overcome. We have an old nature that constantly makes it easy, even joyful for us to sin. So we need to battle against it by faith in God. We need to trust in the Holy Spirit. We need to seek the face of God. Our week is not going to look like a blank week of doing whatever I want, but rather it's going to be an intentional week of maybe simply reading scripture. You have no idea how much it is able to change you and empower you to read scripture. There's nothing more glorious than reading the words of the living God. This is what Jesus faced in this place. This is what you're facing every day in your lives. Temptation. I hope by now you understand. When you talk to someone, you trying to talk to them in such a way that you get your way, that's a temptation for you. I hope you already understand. You not caring about others or you being self-absorbed, that's a serious temptation, if not a failure of a temptation. And you don't have to fail at it. You really don't. You don't have to be self-obsessed. You can love others. You're a Christian. Come on. You don't have to be indifferent to the people around you. There are like 100 people around. You just go about your day. Don't even look left or right. That's not you. That's the old you. God has given you a new life. You are a new creature. You are meant to engage with people. You are meant to build up people. You are meant to rejoice with your brothers and sisters. You are meant to be the person when they go through an entire week and they come to church every week. You are meant to be the person who they talk to. And sometimes they just, I can't believe I just like took that out and told you. Like I didn't tell nobody this. Or you should be the person who they could laugh with and just talk to and just like, they feel light. You're that person. You can't do it if you're doing this. You can't. You can't do it if you separate yourselves based on cliques. You can't do that. That's your temptation. You might think, I'm too young to have a temptation. Nobody is. I'm too old to have a temptation. Nobody is. Jesus wasn't too perfect to have a temptation. He had three of them that are written for us in Scripture. So, the last thing I want to leave you about temptation, and we're going to go through all these temptations next week, one by one. At the core of it, temptation, as complicated as it gets, right? When the devil comes to Jesus and says, hey, Jesus, you've been fasting for 40 days. I know you're hungry. I know your body's weak. I know you want nothing but food right now. And when he says, like, what's wrong with it? Like, turn these stones into bread and eat. God loves you. You're the Son of God. You have the power to change these things. What's wrong with it? For Jesus to respond with, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You need the understanding that this is even temptation to begin with. You need the understanding to know that this devil is lying to me. This is not the right thing to do. You know how Jesus got the understanding? He was full of the Spirit and he was being led by the Spirit through these temptations. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. He will make visible, clear, simple to understand, crafty, deceitful, complicated, supernatural things that the devil throws at us. But as complicated as temptations are, at the center of them is lies. And God is able to shine the light of the truth of God's word so that we can see through every temptation. In fact, the Bible promises that God, with every temptation, provides a way out for believers. There is no temptation in the world, no temptation I can promise you that you have faced up to this point, whether you have passed it, overcome it, or failed for it. None of those temptations were temptations you should have fallen for. All of those temptations had a way out. Were you angry at somebody? Well, then, you could have not been. You could have even been polite, kind. You could have been the person who responds with good for evil. You could have been the person who loves, even if you have that person that's screaming at you as an enemy, you could have been the person who loves their enemy. There's a way out. And it's found when the Spirit of God controls us and leads us. There's a way out wherever you find yourself. Like you've lied, pretended, whatever, did all of that, and you found yourself stuck somewhere. There's still a way out. It's called repentance. you turn back and God will restore you. The Spirit of God will empower you. He will overcome anything. I've seen people overcome addictions and one day, not them, obviously, what God does. I've seen people come out of a life of deceit and sinfulness and brokenness, a hidden life in one day. I didn't know. They told us when they testify. God can do that. That's not to encourage people to continue in a sinful life. I'm not promising you 5 days from now God will rescue you. God is rescuing you today if you turn. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. But what I'm telling you is if as a Christian you're struggling, you're like burdened, and like you find it impossible, if you come to the Spirit, if you seek His face, if you trust in Him instead of your own ability to see temptations and overcome them and be better at it, I'm going to do better today, I'm going to do better next week, next year, forget that. Trust in the Lord. The Lord is going to give you a new life today. The Lord is going to renew you today. The Lord is going to give you the strength to repent today. The Lord is going to give you joy and freedom and righteousness by His power, by His Holy Spirit. Trust in that. That's what Jesus became an example of. The Son of God who trusts in the Spirit of God as a human to overcome any temptation. Even after he has been fasting for 40 days and he's hungry and he doesn't have energy, he's a human, by the way. Even in that moment where we all would be cranky and confused and disoriented and we would just rather like not even talk to anybody, in that moment he overcomes. And he says, or the scripture says to us, it's not Jesus as a man overcoming stuff, it's the Spirit of God leading Jesus in the first place to fast for 40 days and not die. And in the second place, after those 40 days, giving him power enough to still overcome any temptation, the worst possible temptations that the devil could bring. This is the gift God has given us. I hope you're excited about this. I hope you are. As a young person, you're not helpless. As a young person, you're not clueless. You're a Christian. You have the wisdom that the world doesn't have in this book that you understand because the Spirit of God dwells in you. What I'm telling you right now, I can't tell anybody in the world. You can bring the smartest people in this room, they wouldn't understand. I wouldn't even begin to talk about it. I can only talk to Christians about this. I need to talk to born again people about this. You're free because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Your power, like you're powerful because the power of the Spirit is in you. But all by yourself, you're nothing. All by ourselves, we're doomed. So if you're in prison, if you're struggling, if you've lost hope, if you're like, ugh, I'm tired of me because I've seen me fail at things that I don't want to do over and over again, stop looking at you. Repent. Look at Jesus, the starter and perfecter or finisher of the faith that we live in. Take an example, the perfect one. Rejoice at the fact that the power of the Spirit is able to free you from all sin. I hope you're excited about that. So, you can't outsmart the devil's temptations. You can't rebuke it. Contrary whatever to whatever anybody tells you, you can't rebuke the devil out of tempting you. You can't avoid it. You might not even be able to understand it's a temptation. Because apart from the revelation of God, apart from being filled by the Spirit of God, temptations are supernatural tests. And also understand the last thing. Temptations are not just the devil having his way with you, doing whatever he wants. No. The Spirit of God led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted. Temptation, on the flip side of it, is God testing your faith so that you might be stronger in your faith. That is what we have before us. Every day that you're tempted, it's not God is not the one tempting you. Every day that you're forced or you're enticed to sin, God will never do that to you, ever. But God allows temptations to come to your life, provided, I told you, every temptation, God provides a way out. Because if you keep finding the way out by faith in God, you become stronger and stronger and stronger. The same way when you overcome resisting weights, your body gets stronger. When you overcome lessons that you take over and over again, you get smarter. You get a degree in it. When you overcome challenges in life, hardships in life, the next time a hardship comes, it might be easy for you to pass. You learn patience. Your character develops. All these things happen. This is the purpose that God has, that He allows temptation into our lives, that we might learn to constantly find the way out that God provides by faith in the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own might. So that your spiritual muscles are going to say, I'm wretched, I cannot overcome temptations every day, and I know one who is more powerful than the one that is tempting me. That's the muscle you need to develop. The muscle that says, I can't do it. Oh, my problem is I've been trying to figure this out myself. That's why I'm just like crashing and burning. Instead, if I repented and trusted in the Lord, He's able to empower me, to lead me, to fill me with His Spirit, that I may be able to walk right through it. This is what we have for today. Let's pray.